The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I am flying solo this week. I said to Scotty, the producer, I said, you got to give me the reason behind that song. And he said, well, that is Karate Kid, right? That's Karate Kid. It has to be. I'm trying to remember exactly where that's from. And I believe that somehow that person that sings that song is related to Sylvester Stallone. Or there's some kind of connection there. Anyway, we'll figure it out. But anyway, Scotty, the producer, goes, I put that song in because I couldn't find a song about rats, and the Florida Panthers are the best. And that is our cue to bring on David DeWork, who covers the Florida Panthers for the Hockey News. Thank you for your time, David, today. Welcome to the Green Zone.
No, great welcome. Taking me back to the Karate Kid days. Definitely love that song.
So it is Karate Kid. Thank you. I knew it. I wasn't positive, but I was pretty sure. David, just before we get going, full disclosure, I am an Oilers fan. So please don't hold that against me, okay?
No, I'm a Dolphins fan, so don't hold that against me.
All right. So, David, how would you describe this Florida Panthers team to somebody that, I don't know, let's just hypothetically say, is new to hockey?
I'd say unique. Teams like this, that you know, we don't see them come along very often. There's different angles that you could hit it from, whether you talk about the way that they play on the ice. They play this incredibly physical, demanding five-man teamwork type style systems that are, despite being rooted in defense, they lead to a lot of goals and a lot of exciting play. So they're incredibly fun to watch on the ice. They've got one of the best locker rooms you can imagine in terms of good people, great characters, guys that take care of each other, that lift each other up. It's just a wonderful situation in terms of camaraderie. All the guys have taken less money to sign long-term contracts so they can stay together. It's just, you don't see it very often. It's a generational type thing, what the Panthers have put together. And, you know, I will always say credit goes to the general manager, Bill Zito. Obviously, you got to point to the guys that signed him and brought him in, and the owner, Vinny Viola, and team president, Matt Caldwell. But what Bill Zito has done since taking over as the Panthers general manager in September of 2020, he's completely reshaped the team inside and out. And now we have this just incredible situation that, as I said, comes along so very rarely that any hockey fan, you know, I would say, just enjoy it, appreciate it for what it is. And, you know, for Panther fans, are just soaking it in right now because they went through decades of desolation in terms of having things to be excited about. So the law of average is paying off for Panther fans right now.
Leading up to the NHL free agency frenzy, David, the bigger story, well, outside of Marner, would have been the fact that Bill was able to hang on to Ekblad, Bennett, and Marchand, the three RFAs, and a big reason why this team was back in the Stanley Cup final and was able to carry a cup around their heads one more time. Are you surprised that Bill, and I know he's been nominated, but are you surprised that he hasn't won GM of the Year yet?
I think the surprise wore off after last year when he was snubbed for the third time in 4 years. And when it happened again this year, it was almost expected at this point. Like, you go out there, you turn an entire franchise around, you sign guys to amazingly good, positive contracts that work for both sides, you build a Stanley Cup winner, you create a team that may be the first dynasty the NHL has seen in decades. So, yeah, of course, why not give this guy credit? So, yeah. I asked Bill Zito about it a couple of years ago after he had been snubbed for like the second time, before they had won the Stanley Cup. I asked him about it at the draft. I think it was in Nashville. And he told me, he's like, I don't care about that. The only thing I care about is that big silver trophy. So, you know, fast forward 2 years later, 2.5 years later, and there he is. He's won back-to-back Stanley Cup. So I don't think it bothers him very much, but it bothers everybody else because it's like, what are we doing? Like, it's like 2 + 2 = 4, not 2 + 2 = Dallas. I don't get it. But again, to Zito's credit, I'm sure he could care less.
What is he doing, and just based on your connection to the team and what you're seeing, because he has built something. And you know what? You can start spreading around credit if you want, but Bill gets a lot of credit for the structure, for the foundation of this team. Has he got a philosophy? Because he's a fiery individual. Like, if you see him on TV, you know, quite often he'll be throwing something across the room or when they do focus on him. But is there something that you can pinpoint, David, that is giving him an edge on other GMs, or is, I don't know. I'm searching here.
No, he's an incredibly thoughtful person. The guy that you're talking about that you see on TV every so often, throwing water bottles and looking very animated. Those are like the only times that he gets like that. Like when we see him and when we interact with him on the norm, like around the rink or, you know, traveling or whatever, practice rink, he's very just kind of chill, and he thinks every answer. Like when you have a conversation with him, like he gives you very thoughtful answers. He's like a hockey nerd like the rest of us, I guess. But, you know, when he was describing like free agency time or playoff time or game time or whatever, like the players are playing, the coaches are coaching. Him and his front office guys, they're not doing either of those things. So they're literally just sitting around, planning ahead, figuring out what contracts they can try to sign guys to, what their backup plans would be, what their contingencies are on those backup plans. Just like any other GM, I don't want to take anything away from anybody else out there, but they just pour their heart and souls into this. And I think when you combine the knowledge and the fact that he's surrounded himself with a combination of great hockey minds and great analytics minds, you combine all that with the fact that he's been working in hockey since he got out of college where he played hockey. He was in the agency business. He started an agency. He worked with Jarmo Kekäläinen, the former GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, over in Finland for years and years. So he's got the international thing down. He's got, you know, tentacles all across the globe right now. And it's just kind of all come together, for all the years of hard work that he put in. It all came together as he got hired with the Panthers back in 2020. And, you know, they had a core. The Panthers did. They had Bob and they had Barkov. They had Aaron Ekblad. But what he's added around them and then gotten everybody to buy in, it's just been unbelievable.
Let's talk a little bit about the salary cap. Right now, the Panthers are just above it. They're not the only team. And this happens for the teams that do spend right on the cap. They'll go up and down and over the course of, you know, the offseason. Is there anything that you can see them doing that's a quick and easy fix to get them below before the puck drops in October?
Yeah, I mean, quick and easy, there would be two options. Either make the trade of a guy whose, you know, cap hit is a little bit more than what they're, I think right now they're over by just under $2 million.
Yeah.
And they still have at least one RFA and rookie, well, he'll be a sophomore now, but Matty Samuskevich, they're going to get him signed here in the not-too-distant future. So I would think either you make a trade if they're going to do that, or you put a guy in LTIR at the start of the season, and then you know, fast forward, you deal with the problem again, you know, a couple months. Those would be the quick fixes. Now, names that have been thrown around, obviously LTIR, the first name that would come to mind potentially is Matthew Tkachuk, just because, as he said about, you know, 10 days ago or whatever, they had their exit meetings. You know, he said he's still kind of 50-50 on whether or not he's going to have surgery on his torn hip abductor. That would be probably a fairly lengthy recovery process, as, you know, hip surgeries are nothing to shy away from. So that's, we're going to have to wait and see what ends up being decided on with Tkachuk and the team doctors over the, I would expect, the next little while, because if they're going to do something, I wouldn't expect them to wait too long on that. And then conversely, you know, they can make a trade. A name that's been thrown around a decent amount over the last few days, I've heard, is Evan Rodriguez. You know, he's a $3 million cap hit. He's a guy who, he plays up and down the lineup, but as they have guys like Matty Samuskevich coming up and playing a more regular role, there's, in terms of like a 12-man forward group, there's not room for Evan Rodriguez. And are you going to have a guy who could potentially be a $3 million healthy scratch, if that would be the case, because the fourth line is pretty well set. So there are options for Florida to explore. What happens, you know, we're going to have to wait and see, but fortunately it's only, what, July 2nd, I believe. So they still have a little bit of time.
David DeWork covers the Florida Panthers for the Hockey News. So it's been a pretty exciting last 2-3 years for you and that part of your gig. Now, I'm going to give the Florida Panthers some credit. Not easy for me to do based on my allegiance in the hockey world, but they do party well. And they take it to the next level. But I got to admit, I was a bit surprised by how they celebrated the second cup win from a trash-talking aspect. Did you have any thoughts on that? Because it seemed a little aggressive this year.
I think there was talk during the series also about how, like, guys were crossing lines with their trash talk that generally aren't crossed even when you get to the Stanley Cup final.
On the ice, yeah.
And, the only thing that I'm thinking is these guys, they played this ridiculous 7-game series last year, and now they're going at it again. And they both had been there before. The experience, you know, the shine of it had worn off a little bit, and they were both just desperate to win. I don't think it's much more than incredibly. Oh God, I'm struggling to coming up with the right adjectives to describe the animosity that was going on between these two.
Yeah, teams. They hate each other. You could tell in the lineup too, David.
You could think that it stems from like the two guys, you know, Tkachuk and Evander Kane. They've hated each other forever, and certainly they were a bit of the forefront of it. But I mean, even going back to like game one when Jake Wallman was like getting in Thomas Nosek's face after he took the delayed game penalty in overtime. And just kind of kept going from there. Like, there was no holds barred. Nobody seemed to care about anything other than doing whatever they could to get any mental, physical, whatever kind of advantage you possibly could in the series. And whether or not that's the kind of thing we'd want to see moving forward, I don't know. But it certainly provided us with an entertaining, from an outsider's perspective, from not being on the ice and having to deal with all that, certainly a very entertaining final.
Absolutely. I agree. I thought maybe there was like a couple of times, and I think also the Brad Marchand sort of combination of it as well, because he's kind of known for his trash talk and his ability to troll as well. But I don't want to let you go before I ask you this question, because it's an ongoing conversation, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. So for the last 6 years, a team from Florida has won the Stanley Cup. This tax-free state conversation is prevalent in this discussion. Do you think teams in tax-free states have an advantage over the rest of the league?
I think if the team is in a tax-free state and they have a competent front office and they have a owner who's willing to spend up to the cap and all the things fall into place, then yes, you're going to have an advantage. Did that work out for Florida for the majority of their creation? No. Did that work out for Tampa for the majority of their existence? No. Dallas, Vegas, Nashville, like, they all have the same advantages. And, you know, with Vegas, they've had certainly advantages given their way since the start. You know, we have to get into all that. But it's something, right? And you behoove yourself, if you're on any of those teams and their front offices, and you're not trying to utilize that as a selling point. But the alternatives or the ways to deal with that are pretty headache-inflicting. I'm not going to argue that there's no advantage at all. Obviously, you know, money is money. But when you've got, it certainly must play a role with the Panthers, because everybody's taking less money. And I'm sure that plays a part where you can, that extra little $1 million or even $500,000 here or there, that adds up at the bottom of a roster. But at the end of the day, you need to have executives that are willing, you know, that are able to put that together. You need to have an owner who's willing to invest all that money. Mm-hmm. So it's not just as simple as the tax thing, but to say that it has no impact is kind of silly, because obviously everybody, their wallet hits them. Do I think it's such a big thing that it needs to be like a rule change? No.
In the next 5 years, David, how many cups are the Florida Panthers going to win?
2.5. I'd say the over or the under if you want.
I like your answer, my friend. Hey, listen, I appreciate your time. And thanks for joining the Green Zone today, David.
Oh, happy to do it, man. Anytime. Appreciate the invite.
Awesome. That is David DeWork. He's a good follow on Twitter. He covers the Florida Panthers for the Hockey News. And I don't think that story is going away anytime soon. We're going to open up the phone lines and take your calls. We'll get into the discussions that we're looking for coming up here in just a minute. The Green Zone fan line is 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie's off for the week. He takes the bye weeks off. We did have somebody that sent a text saying, you could have played Rat. We were looking for like a song title to tie into the Florida Panthers, the Rats, which they fully embraced, and we just totally forgot Rat. So thank you for that. I did get a text to give the state-free tax thing a rest. Yes, they beat the Oilers, but they were a better team. I did not have a name on that text, so it comes from an anonymous source, but I will say this out loud. Settle in. Get used to it. I might not be able to let that go. It might be an ongoing conversation with me. Why are they a better team? Well, there's a number of reasons. One of them is it's a tax-free state. All right. Anyway, up next, we got open phones, fan free-for-all. One of the discussions I want to have, and I'm going to set this up here with my idea on who the best team in the CFL is right now. And I want your thoughts on that. Who's the best team in the CFL right now and why? 877-332-8255 is the fan line. This is 980 CJME, 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Jamie's off for the week. I am flying solo. We've got a fan free-for-all. If you're ever trying to call the Green Zone fan line, love the phone calls, by the way, 877-332-8255. That is also the text line. Getting a couple of texts already about who's the best team in the CFL right now and tell me why. I want to run through a couple of things that I'm thinking. One, low-hanging fruit, the easiest one to grab onto, the record, undefeated. A lot of question marks about the teams that they're playing and the schedule that they've had so far. It's working out very nicely for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but you still have to win those games, right? And it's the CFL. Anything can happen. We've seen it. The running game. AJ Ouellette, key factor, in my opinion. He is at the top of the league. He's rumbling like crazy, over 6 yards per carry he's averaging this year. Quarterback depth, I think, is going to play a big part in the success of this team moving forward. You got a very consistent player in Trevor Harris, and then you got one of the stronger quarterback rooms in the CFL. Defensive strength, I don't think we talk enough about this. Gave up the second fewest yards in the league last year, and it looks like they're on their way to doing the same thing. And they're dangerous. This is a dangerous defense that can get, if you make a mistake or they catch you napping, they're going to make you pay. Coaching, consistency. This is a strong group. And that is a word that everybody uses to actually reference this team, consistency and the coaching staff, but consistency in all aspects of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And we will throw in the fact that the fans are up there as well. And if you want to weigh in on this, like I said, you can text or you can call the fan line, 877-332-8255. I've got Carson from Saskatoon on the line. What CFL team is the best team right now?
Well, it's definitely the Riders for pretty much all the stuff you mentioned, but just the amount of ways they can get you, it's like nothing I've ever seen before from them, even, you know, in their glory days. Like Stevens, that's the third-string quarterback there, looks like, you know, he's going to run for 80 yards. A game, if you let him. You know what I mean? Ouellette, yeah. Lead in the league, having by far his best year as a Rider. And the mentality, right? Like, Corey Mace has got everybody on board, and Keyshawn Johnson, too. This is all without Baker, Schaefer Baker, and, McEwen, big players that they're missing. And they never skipped a beat. Like, Jake Mayer was starting last week, and they scored more than when Trevor Harris is, it's crazy.
Well, the one thing that I like about what happened last week with Jake is I think it highlighted how important that running game is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you spent a lot of time, Carson, listening to the pregame show, the postgame show here on the Green Zone for the Rough Rider games. But you know, Belton has been ringing that bell for a long time about the fact that he wants this team to run the ball more. So putting Jake in, maybe a little bit more concern with, his first start. And there was an expectation. It was predicted right across the board that this team was going to run the ball more. And AJ stepped up. But I think what they did that on this last game in week 4, Carson, is proof that with Harris back, if he comes back after the bye for week 6, that is definitely a strategy that they can continue with. But you're right. The team depth and the fact that they've been covering these major injuries, I don't know if we've highlighted that enough.
Yeah, the big holes they're filling. Can you hear me still?
Absolutely, Carson, yes.
Yeah, the big holes they're filling in on the roster. You can stop the run game, but then they're just going to pass it. And you know what I mean? Trevor Harris doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And Keyshawn Johnson feels like a number one receiver.
He looks like it.
Was that one, was it 2 weeks ago where he had that one drive where it was just him all the way, like six or seven plays passing all the way to the end zone.
Carson, love your thoughts, my friend. So you're picking the Saskatchewan Roughriders as the best team in the CFL right now.
Oh, not a pick. It's just a fact.
I'm on board, brother. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. And again, if you want to weigh in, you can text or you can call 877-332-8255. That depth is a big part of it. Now, we do have the naysayers out there that suggest that this team hasn't played enough this year to take the mantle of the top team in the CFL. This is from Kyle. Going into the weekend, it is Winnipeg. They are looking to be the most complete team right now. And you know what? There's a case to be made for that as well. Winnipeg looks really, really good. If you're taking a look at the standings right now in the CFL, you've got Montreal at 3-1. That's a decent team. You got 4-0 Saskatchewan Roughriders. You got the 3-0 Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So they're undefeated as well. So I understand there's definitely a case to be made for that. Love Saskatchewan, but the Bombers have just been way more dominant. So that is an anonymous text that we have. I had a conversation with a friend of mine in Winnipeg about this, and it was this morning, and this is why I wanted to have this conversation today. And he is a hardcore Winnipeg Blue Bombers fan, and him and I got into it about this team. And the interesting thing, and I will say this, and maybe Blue Bomber fans can weigh in on this, because I think it's similar to what's building here in Saskatchewan with the consistency from the coaching and sort of the preparation on a regular basis with this team over the last couple of years and even longer in Winnipeg. When you've got that structure from, you know, all aspects of putting together a team, a football team, you're going to have success. And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers definitely have had success over the years. They've had consistency. And that's something that we're building here in Saskatchewan over the last couple of years under Corey Mace. Now, the funny thing is that every year there have been calls for the Blue Bombers and a decline. And everybody sort of highlights the fact that that team is going to, they got to take a turn. Like something's going to happen. This team is going to start to slip over the next little while. And it just doesn't seem to be happening, and we're dealing with that again this year. So maybe there's a case to be made for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They're undefeated. They had an earlier bye in the season. Maybe they are the best team in the CFL right now. And again, want to hear from you. I did get a follow-up from Kirk on his picks, his Week 5 picks. He took the Stamps, the Argos, the Lions, the Red Blacks. And the picture he sent me looked a lot like it might have been something from a betting site. So I said, it looks like you stand to win some money because there's a few upsets there. And he goes, $5 will get me $125. So he is kind of leaning on the long shots on that to win a little bit of money. But that's his picks, Kirk, for Week 5 in the CFL. We got Calgary over Winnipeg. This is Nye's picks. Hamilton over Toronto, Montreal over BC, Edmonton over Ottawa. Thursday night, Bombers, Stamps. You got Friday night, Hamilton, Toronto. Saturday night, BC, Montreal. Sunday night, the dud of the week, 5 for sure, Ottawa, Edmonton. If you have a pick for this past or picks for your Week 5 that you want to send in, fire them on the text line as well, 877-332-8255. But right now, I want to hear from you. Who's the best team in the CFL right now? And highlight some of the reasons why. And again, the number, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Green Zone, a fan free-for-all, 877-332-8255. Best team in the CFL right now. An interesting conversation just based on the schedules and the records. Do you give Saskatchewan the edge because they're 4-0? Winnipeg's right behind them. They haven't lost either. They're 3-0 right now. So it could be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. What say you, David?
Well, I think the team that we should be focusing on is the Riders, and that's just because I'm obviously a diehard Riders fan. But I'm never going to cheer for the Blue Bombers, even though I have to spend 7 years in the Army in Winnipeg. But No, I think the advantage for the Riders, first off, is that their depth, because some of their players that are out right now and got injured, it's early in the season, but they're still winning. And so that's the big thing, is their depth is coming through. And on the Eastern Conference side, I don't know why. I was talking about it here at work at Sportsnet, and I said, you know, I don't know why, but I have a gut feeling that Hamilton Tiger Cats are going to be the team in the East to beat.
That's interesting, because this week we were in the meeting in the Green Zone Lounge today, and we were talking about Nye's pick. He's got Calgary going into Winnipeg and beating the Blue Bombers, and he's got Hamilton getting another win in Toronto.
I think he's right.
Yeah.
I think he's right.
Okay. He's got Montreal over BC. That's a pretty easy pick. And he's got Edmonton going, getting a win in Ottawa. So he's got a bunch of...
Is anybody really going to watch that game on Sunday? Like, really? Have a good day, my man.
All right. I appreciate it, David. Thanks for the call, my friend. And we do have some texts as well that we're getting on this conversation. This one came in. Winnipeg is still the class of the West in the CFL. Until the Riders can beat them Labor Day and in the playoffs, it will still be the Bombers. And you know what? Not too far off. Riders are closing the gap, though. That's from Dale from Saskatoon. So a bit of a reality check. Another conversation that we've been having here on the Green Zone with the fan free-for-all is about stealing a player. Yesterday, NHL... free agency frenzy. So we got a bunch of texts on that already as well. David from Tisdale is stealing Cale Makar and bringing him to the Oilers. So we're looking for who you would like to steal, all right, for the team that you're cheering for. Cale Makar from the Avalanche to the Oilers. You know what? The only reason listen, Cale is an unbelievable player, and any team in the league would want him. My issue with the Oilers is they've already got that element, and just watching what we watched this year, my team pretty much get beat up by the Florida Panthers. You're looking for more, and I think you're going to start to see it with some of the moves that the Oilers are going to make. You're going to start to see them get grittier. The bully hockey term, which is basically a term that they've created for the Florida Panthers and what they did through the course of this year's playoffs. It's not a new term, but it's one that is being tossed around a lot more openly now. And then the copycat league, everyone's saying, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. You know, that's the expectation. Everybody's going to try to find players that are harder to play against. If I'm picking a guy, it's not Matthew Tkachuk. I can't do it. I can't cheer for the Tkachuk family. I would never be able to say that I would want him on my team. There's no way. I would add Brad Marchand to that list as well. So they can stay. I realize those players are hard to play against, and that's the kind of player that you might want on your team if you're an Oilers fan like myself, but I just can't wrap my head around it. I would pick up a Victor Hedman, a defense for Tampa Bay. He is a big reason why, in my opinion, the Tampa Bay Lightning are hard to play against. He's a little bit older, but 34 years of age. Man, I would bring him and slap him into the Oilers lineup like that. I mean, listen, the Oilers have a little too much Bouchard and a little too much Nurse for my like. They're great players, and I understand why they went out and they re-signed Bouchard, and we can get into a conversation about whether or not the amount of money they're throwing at Bouchard, it's over $10 million a year for 4 years, and what Nurse is making. Nurse is never going to outlive that. He just, every conversation about Nurse is about the fact that he was overpaid, and I don't disagree. And you wouldn't find too many people in the NHL that would, you know, in the hockey world that would disagree that Nurse was overpaid. But if you're adding a player to the squad, a Victor Hedman, in my opinion, would be somebody that I would look at. I had a feeling this might come in. Sean from Pilot Butte, he's suggesting that the Oilers steal Bobrovsky. The only problem that I have with that, if you're an Oilers fan like I am, is where do you start? The list is long. Dale, he's sending in the Swayman from Boston. There was a rumor. I don't know how much merit there was on that. There was a rumor that the Oilers were going after Swayman. Ugh, man, Boston is doing some weird things. If that would have happened, that would have been one of those real head shakers. And anybody that cheers for the Bruins would have had a major problem with that. All right, up next on the Green Zone, we'll chat with Terry Koshan and get his thoughts on Marner going to Vegas. Terry covers the Leafs for the Toronto Sun, so I'm looking forward to that conversation. That's next, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.